for the firstborn. Caitlin tells me, if you're going to put your hands in your pockets, to unbutton your coat. And now she's horrified that I mentioned her name. So. 9 plagues have passed. So we're down to the last plague. And it should have never gotten to this point, but it had to get to this point because the Hebrews are still slaves in Egypt. And so after the first 9 plagues, a final prophecy is given by God. And it's a verse that a lot of people in churches and even pastors get wrong sometimes. Exodus 11:4. So Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt. Here's what we get wrong. We're describing the death of the firstborn here, the last plague upon Egypt. And you'll hear everybody say that this is the angel of death, that the angel of death came out and passed over. No, this is Jesus himself who's going to pass over the land of Egypt on this night. And Jesus himself who's going to kill the firstborn. Okay, we'll see that a little bit more as we go along. Once again, some period of time has had to go by. And the reason we know that is because, once again, the cattle is going to be affected in the land of Egypt. Now, at this point, Moses is no longer, up to this point, and we said last week that Moses was giving Pharaoh the chance to be the guy, and he was very respectful. And he was saying, tell you what, you tell me when you want the plagues to go away, and that's when the plagues will go away. This is your kingdom. You're in control. Not anymore. That's gone now. Now Moses is the man, Moses is in control, and Moses is before Pharaoh. So he's not speaking reverently anymore to Pharaoh. Exodus 11, 8b. Only then will I go, Moses talking. He's saying, after you let all the little ones and after the family and everybody. And look, and then Moses is burning with anger. Moses left Pharaoh. So Moses is no longer standing in. We read the Bible and we read like the next verse we're going to read here. And can you put that up, Zach? Exodus 11:5. And every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, blah, blah, blah. And that's not how Moses, as we saw from the other verse, Moses is angry at this point. And he's telling Pharaoh, I'm sick of this. And he's telling him, look. And he's pointing his finger at his chest. And listen, and every firstborn in all your land is going to die. You had your chance to listen to God, and you had your chance to get it right, and you blew it. And now you're going to pay the price. Every firstborn of the slave girl who's behind the handmill, the firstborn of the cattle, all dead. And Moses is laying it out for Pharaoh what's about to take place. This will be the 5th time that the cattle of Egypt is affected by the plagues. And 3 of them, they died outright. So we know that some period of time is going by here. Exodus 11:7. But against any of the sons of Israel, a dog will not even bark. So here's what's going on. Okay, you have these at least hundreds of thousands of Egyptians, and in every single household, somebody's going to die. And there's going to be wailing and crying like there's never been before in the history of the world. But over here in the land of Egypt, of Israel and Goshen, where the Jews are living, not even a dog is going to bark. Everything's going to be peaceful. It's going to be calm. And that's what Moses is warning Pharaoh is going to happen here. And he says, so the reason is so that you're going to know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Listen, he does that with us too. We have not seen the fruits of that always yet, but we're going to. God is going to make a distinction between those who belong to him and those who do not belong to him, just like he did in Egypt. So now God does something that adds confusion to our Western minds. And I'm going to try to bring this all together for you guys rather quickly. But this confuses our minds. We don't understand because of the way God does things. Exodus 12:12. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. Here's where the confusion comes in for us. Every major event in the Bible takes place on 1 of 7 days. But we don't understand that because when we read the Bible, it doesn't say on April 14th, the ark came to rest. And on April 14th, Jesus rose from the dead. It doesn't say that. It says on the first day of the 4th month after leaving Egypt, this happened. Or it says, and during the Feast of Tabernacles on this particular day, this happened. And then to confuse that a little bit, God changed the first month of the year, and now it's 4 months later, and he's made this the first month of the year. But they always happen on the same days in Egypt, and the Jews will understand this. And I'll explain this as we get in. I have a calendar that will bring this together for you guys. Today we call this first month of the year Nisan. And that's important to remember as we get into the dates here. In the Bible, Nisan is most often referred to as Abib, same month. It's important to understand because this is why Easter changes for us. Like last year, Easter was early in March, and this year it's late in April. And it changes for us every year. And the reason it does that is because we line it up with Passover on the Israeli calendar. And the Jews keep track of the years differently than we do. The days fall on the exact same day every year for the Jews, but they don't for us. They change for us. For instance, in our calendar, it's 1999. On the Jewish calendar, it's a year 5,776, 77, somewhere in that neighborhood. So they keep track of time differently than we do. But Easter always lines up with Passover, and we're going to see why it has to do that. So here comes the Easter story, okay? Jesus on a cross, the forgiveness of sins. This is what the plagues were all about. This is how we get the whole thing wrong. Now, those who have been here a while, what day of the week does Jesus die on? What is it? Thursday. Jesus died on Thursday. No such thing as Good Friday, okay? How do we know? Because nothing happens, what? In the New Testament that didn't happen in the Old Testament. Okay, nothing. Has to all line up. Now here's the problem for us. Didn't Jesus have to be off the cross and buried before the Sabbath began? See, for the Jews, here's another reason we add confusion. Our days run from midnight to midnight. The Jews' days run from sunset to sunset. So for them, Monday starts at sunset this evening, okay? So you have to understand that. So the Sabbath is Saturday. And so didn't Jesus have to be off the cross before the Sabbath began, which would have been sunset on Friday? That's when Saturday begins for them. So if Jesus died on Thursday, why did he have to be off the cross so early? If he had to be off the cross by the Sabbath. Exodus 12:3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, the 10th of Nisan, they are each one to take a lamb for themselves according to their father's households, a lamb for each household. This is a pretty accurate picture of what they had to do. They had to bring the lamb into the house. What day did they do this on? The 10th day of the month. Okay? And they brought it in, and the reason they had to bring it in is because they had to love this lamb. It had to become a pet to them. They had to fall in love with this lamb. It had to have value for them. And that's why they were to bring it into their homes. Next slide. On the 10th day of the first month, which is called Nisan, they get this perfect lamb. New Testament, John 12:12. Good catch, Zach. I gave him the wrong verse here. On the next day, the large crowd who had come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, this is the 10th of Nisan. We call this the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming into his house, Jerusalem. Slide number two, please, Zach. You can see it here. Here's Jesus down here, and he's riding in. You can see they've got the palm leaves up here, and they're all shouting Hosanna, and they're laying the coats on the floor and everything. Palm Sunday, Nisan the 10th, the day the lamb was bought into the house, the day Jesus is coming into his house, Jerusalem, his home. Okay? John 12:13. Then they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Again, this is the triumphal entry. The 10th day of Nisan, the lamb coming into his house. And this begins the last few days of Jesus' life as a human. Lots of things are going to happen in the next 4 days. The Sermon on the Mount, the feeding of the 5,000, the Last Supper, the trials of Jesus. All these are going to take place in the next 4 days. Matthew 26:19. The disciples did as Jesus directed them, and they prepared the Passover. So Jesus is going to, has his disciples, he's going to share a Passover meal with them. So you know what time of year this is taking place. Okay, we're back here in Egypt. Passover was instituted. Jump ahead a couple thousand years to Jesus. Jesus is in town to celebrate the Passover. Matthew 26:20. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. This would have been Nisan 13, the 13th day of the month. Can you bring up the next slide, please, Zach? Everybody's familiar with this. This was the Last Supper by Leonardo da Vinci. And you can see how everything's laid out. It actually didn't look like this. Okay, he had to paint it like this so he could get the faces of all the disciples, is my guess. But you see Jesus in the middle here. This is the one we know. The verse says that Jesus was reclining on the 12, and this is the way they would do it. They didn't sit on chairs when they shared a common meal. They would sit on the ground with a slightly raised table, and they would lean on the person next to them. It actually looked more like this. Can you bring up the next slide, Zach, please? It actually looked more like this. They're sitting on the floor. So here's the disciples. Now, it would have been open, like this would have wrapped around this side and this would have wrapped around here. They weren't all close proximity like this. And we know that because Peter here was the furthest away from Jesus that he could get. Peter had to be the furthest because he was the servant. Jesus was really working on him to teach him how to be a servant. And so the person who had the last seat furthest away from the guest of honor was expected to serve the rest of the people. You can see Judas sneaking off here. This is after he's already sopped the bread with Jesus, and he's sneaking off to go betray Jesus. But he was seated right here, right next to Jesus. This is the place, this is the guest of honor, and the Jesus, and then the guest of honor chooses his guest of honor. And the person he chose was Judas. And he's given Judas one last chance to get right with him, one last chance to repent. This is where Judas was sitting, right here. And this is where John was sitting. And we know this because of other verses in the Bible. It tells us where they were. Okay. Judas and Jesus dipped their bread in the bowl together. And that's how we know Judas was sitting right next to Jesus. So this is what it looks like at the Last Supper. During this meal, the Passover meal, the reason the Hebrews were to remember and to celebrate Passover every year was to remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And it took blood to set you free from being slaves. And we're going to see how that plays out. But this night, Jesus is going to change the meaning. Up until this time, when the Jews celebrate Passover, they were to remember, you were slaves, you were freed. Jesus changes all that. He changes why we do. We call it communion now. Okay, communion is actually supposed to be the Passover meal. And so we call it communion now. He says, from now on, you're to drink from this cup. And he takes up the third cup. And he says, you're to remember this from this day forward. You're not to remember when you were slaves in Egypt anymore. None of us were slaves in Egypt, right? None of the people living at the time of Jesus were slaves in Egypt either. He's saying from this day forward, when you do this, when you eat the Passover meal, what you're to remember is that I, God, came down and became the last lamb to be sacrificed for the forgiveness of sins. From that day forward, 2,000 years now, Jesus changed the meaning of the Passover meal, what they were to remember. Luke 22:20. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. And with that statement, everybody who puts their trust in Christ is freed from their sins. From here they go someplace. They go to a place known for its olive trees. And it's a place where every drop of blood is going to be drained from Jesus from this point forward. And it's compared in the Bible to being put in an olive oil press. And so they go someplace here. They go to this olive grove. The word for olive in Hebrew is shemen. The word for press is gat. In English, it's Gethsemane, olive press. And that's where Jesus went to be arrested and to be betrayed. And that's where the crushing of Christ began. This is going to be a long night for Jesus. He's going to be alone in a deep underground. We were there. Can you bring up the next slide, please, Zach? Susie took this over in Israel. We're deep down underground here. And this is, it goes way higher than this. So you're way underground here. And this is me down on the bottom of the pit looking up, okay? So here it is from the top looking down. And this is where Jesus was on his last night on earth in this hole right here, this dungeon right here, right where we are. And here it's well lit and everything for the tourists. But for Jesus on the last night, it was dark, pitch dark. And it was damp, and it was cold, and it was lonely. And it was just Jesus by himself down there in this pit, deep underground. This is where he spent the 13th of Nisan. The next morning, Jesus is going to be brought up out of that pit. He's going to stand trial several times, and incidentally, he's going to be found innocent in every one of those trials. But the crowd cries for him to be crucified. The day is going to end with Jesus on a cross. That is Nisan the 14th. Back in Exodus, the Hebrews are still slaves in Egypt, but this is going to be the night they're set free. Remember that little lamb they bought in, our opening picture, standing inside the house? Okay, that lamb's still inside their house now, and it's the 14th of the month. Exodus 12, 6, please, Zach. You shall keep it, the lamb, until the 14th day of the same month, Nisan. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel was to kill it at twilight. Bought the lamb into the house on the 10th. The lamb dies on the 14th day of the month. That's when the lamb was sacrificed for sins. Next slide, please, Zach. Nisan 14, Jesus on a cross. That's the day he died. When did he kill the lamb as a sacrifice? On the 14th. This is the date that Jesus was crucified. Listen, if this didn't happen on the 14th day of the month, Jesus is not the Messiah. He's not the Savior. He's not the promised one of Israel. If this didn't happen on the 14th. Lamb comes into the house, Palm Sunday, today. The triumphal entry. Lamb is sacrificed on the 14th day of the month. Now, if you know anything, there's a couple of problems here. Zach, can you bring up the next slide? You can see here how it happens. Nisan 10, Palm Sunday, lamb comes into the house, okay? Nisan 11, 12, 13, 14, what day is Nisan 14 lay on? Thursday. Jesus had to die on Thursday, but he had to be off the cross before the Sabbath, which is Saturday, right? So we have a problem. John 19, 41. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. See, sometimes people can linger for days and days on a cross during crucifixion. But if they broke their legs, they would collapse like this and they couldn't breathe and the hearts would stop and they'd die quickly. And that's why they asked to have the legs broken. And so this was on the 14th day of the month. And they have to take him down before what? Before the Sabbath. The bodies cannot remain on the cross on the Sabbath. When would the Sabbath start? At sunset. Okay. So if the Sabbath we were talking about is Saturday, Jesus had to be off the cross by sunset on Friday because that's when the Sabbath began. But we just said Jesus died on Thursday. So how do we put those two things together? It works like this, guys. Four times during the year on a Jewish calendar, there are double Sabbaths. A Friday Sabbath. Can you go back to the calendar, please, Zach? There's a Friday Sabbath, and there's a Saturday Sabbath. And they do that four times a year during certain feasts. It's the same this year. This year, it's on April 20th and April 21st, back-to-back Sabbaths. And it's always been like that. And so the Sabbath that Jesus had to be off the cross by was this one. He had to be off the cross and in the tomb by sunset on Thursday. That's why the women waited 3 days before they went to the empty tomb. Okay, they couldn't go on this Sabbath because they're not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. Couldn't go on this Sabbath because they're not allowed to do anything on the Sabbath. So they had to wait until Sunday to go to the empty tomb. Had to be 3 days there. There's one more problem if you've been here long enough, and we're almost done already. There's one more problem. Jesus said, I'll be 3 days in the grave, 3 days in the earth. Now, we learned back in Genesis that the word for days is yom, and that any time you have the word, have a number in front of the word yom, it means what? 24-hour period of time. Anytime the word yom is preceded by a number, and the sun came up and the sun went down, and it was the first day, 24 hours. And the sun rose and the sun set, and it was the second day, 24 hours, so on and so forth. Always means a 24-hour period of time. So we have another problem. So if Jesus dies at sunset here to sunset here would be 1 day, sunset here to sunset here would be 2 days. Jesus couldn't have risen until sunset here on Sunday. But we know that that the tomb was empty when they went to the tomb on Sunday morning. And this is really important. When did they go? When does the Bible say? All four Gospels tell us they went to the tomb as the sun was coming up at twilight, at the first hint of light. And here's how we get around all this, guys. Okay? The Bible never contradicts itself, ever. In Genesis, the word for day is yom, and it denotes a 24-hour period of time. But the gospel word used for day in the four Gospels is different. The word used there is auge, A-U-G-E. And the word means twilight, sunrise, dawn. Jesus says, I'll be in the grave for three dawns, three new days. One, two, three. At twilight, at the beginning of the day, on the third day, the grave will be empty. And that's why we get a difference. Here's the thing. And that's just to give you guys a background of what happened and why it had to happen that way. Why the death of the firstborn. That night, Jesus comes over and he passes over the house. And we'll get to that one last verse here. But to be set free from bondage, the Jews had to do one thing. What did they have to do? Had to cover themselves with blood. See, when they sacrificed that lamb, they took the blood of that lamb, the lamb that was special to them, the lamb that was their pet, the lamb that they'd formed an attachment to, and they took that blood, and Jesus said, you put it on the frame of your door. And then when I pass over the land of Egypt that night, I'm going to look down, and on the houses where I see blood, I'm going to pass over that house because I know that they've chosen to follow me. And on the houses where there is no blood, they've chosen another way. And in those houses without blood, they're going to pay the price for not covering themselves with my blood, Christ. Listen, here's the thing. Jesus is going to come over Egypt on this night. And he's going to look down, and he's going to say, oh, that house has blood on it. I'm going to pass over that house. And he's going to come over here, and he's going to say, oh, this house has no blood. Firstborn's going to die. Listen, it wasn't based on merit. They might have been the rottenest people in the world over here, and they might have been the friendliest, nicest people in the world over here. Didn't make any difference. It's not about that. It's not about us. It's about, do we do it God's way and cover ourselves with blood? Or do we try to do it our own way? Exodus 12:12-13. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. Who's doing this? Is it an angel of death? For I am the Lord. I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will strike down every firstborn. I am the Lord. It's not an angel of death. This is Jesus himself striking the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's the same with us today, guys. The only thing that could set us free from the bondage of sin, and listen, we're all slaves. We're all slaves. You don't think you're a slave to something? Try not eating for the next couple of days. You're a slave to your appetite. You're a slave to sleep. We're slaves to lots of things. Most of all, we're slaves to sin. And there is absolutely nothing anybody in this room can do about it. You are a slave to sin. I'm a slave to sin. Just the way it is. We were born with a sin nature. Watched a show last night. It was amazing. It was on the funeral of Charles Manson. And all these people are in there, I think it was on Smithsonian or one of those channels. But anyway, a bunch of Manson followers are in there talking about what a good guy he was and all this. You people are just so messed up. And the one guy, his grandson, says everybody has good in them. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says nobody has good within them. Nobody. And because Jesus made that claim, that means none of us can do anything to get to heaven on our own. And so he had to make a way. And so on the 14th day of the month, we call it Good Friday, it took place on Thursday, Jesus hung on a cross and he died. And listen, it's still the same today. Jesus is still looking down from above, and he's looking on everybody in this room, and he says, oh, you got the blood on you, Jared. I'm going to go head over here. Oh, Brian, uh-oh, you're in trouble, man. And on Judgment Day, whether you preach behind this pulpit, whether you play in the bell choir, whether you led the choir, played piano, taught Sunday school, read the Bible, came to church every week, none of that's going to matter. None of it. But by the same token, here's the good news. Had an abortion, cheated on your spouse, killed somebody, murdered somebody, stolen something, raped somebody. Listen, that's not going to matter either. It works both ways. The only thing that's going to matter on Judgment Day is this. I believe you, Jesus. I trust you. I put my trust in you. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I'm not worthy of you. I don't deserve you. But because of what you did on the cross, I accept that. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior and to change my life, so that I can come home and be with you forever. Listen, that's the only thing that can save you. That's what Easter season is all about. That's what the plagues were all about. The plagues led to Good Friday. They all pointed to that day. And listen, on Friday, John's going to do the Good Friday service, and I hope you guys will come and hear it. And just remember that it's all because of you. Jesus looked down through the ages, and he saw Stacy, and he saw Cheryl, and Jerry, and Ed, and David, and he said, they need a Savior. So he hung on a cross so that we could live forever. I love you guys.